Before I read this morning's gospel, I'm going to give a little context, and then I'm going to stop partway through and talk about it some more before I finish. So just to give you a heads up of what's going on. Before I read the text, I want you to know that in the chapter before this, chapter 12 in Luke, Jesus has gathered with a huge crowd. Thousands of people have gathered to hear him along with his followers. And throughout chapter 12, Jesus has shared parable after parable talking about watchfulness, about being ready, about not being distracted by worldly concerns. All of these stories coming from a worldview that the end is near. So the message that Jesus is bringing to the people is a message of urgency, because the end could come at any moment, so you need to hear and act now. So now, in chapter 13, we continue with this same theme. Everything that's spoken here is pointing towards this coming end. And again, there's this urgency, this urgent need for change, for repentance. And that's the theme we're going to talk about today. So now, the gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Okay, I'm going to pause the reading here. The first thing that Jesus is talking about here with the blood mingled with the sacrifices, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. So this is a current event, something that had happened recently, and someone brings it to Jesus' attention and asks him about it. Pilate had apparently sent soldiers in to kill Jewish people during an act of worship, and so their blood was mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. We don't have any other historic account of this specific event, but we do know that that level of violence was common. It was common by the Romans, it was common by Pilate, and it was especially common against the Jewish people. So it's very plausible. And then the second incident that Jesus talks about, it was just an accident, but another current event, something that had happened. A building had collapsed, and the people it fell on were crushed and killed. So we have these two violent incidents. One is political violence, state violence, and one is just a random accident. And in both cases, Jesus asks the question, do you think the people who died were worse sinners than the people who survived? And Jesus asks that because that was the commonly held belief of the time, that all suffering was the result of sin. It was judgment. It was wrath from God. That was how they understood the world to work, which is kind of convenient. It's nice and tidy, really. It means that everything happens for a reason. It means that only good things happen to good people, and that bad things only happen to bad people. It also gives a sense of comfort and control, because it means that we can keep bad things from happening to us. If we just keep our noses clean, if we just do the right thing and follow the laws, follow the rules, then bad things won't happen to us. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, we can laugh at that simplistic worldview, but we still fall into it, even modern people. You know, any time that something bad happens and you find yourself thinking, why me? Or, but I did everything right and it still happened. Or any time a tragedy happens to someone you love and you find yourself thinking, of all people, they are so good and so kind and generous. Why did this happen to them? This is that idea that if someone is good, then bad things shouldn't happen to them. We still fall into this. And sometimes we fall into this idea in less generous ways. When we see suffering and we manage to distance ourselves from it, whether it's because we think that people who are suffering from poverty or homelessness must be lazy or must have some deep-seated problem that led to this, that brought this upon themselves. There are all sorts of ways that we can still fall into this mindset. And here, Jesus points this out and he calls it out and he says, no, they are not worse sinners than anybody else. This is not God's judgment or God's punishment against these people. And then immediately after that, Jesus says these seemingly harsh words, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. After each story, unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. This is the theme that I mentioned of repentance. And it's the main thing I want to talk about today, but I want to try and change the way we think about it. I want us to revision repentance as a gift. But first we have to look at and kind of deal with what is said here and what seems so harsh about this pairing of repentance with this warning of death. If you don't repent, you will perish. So often I think what we hear in that is threat. If you don't do this, then you will be killed. You will be punished. God will smite you. Or whatever it is. We again fall into that same old thinking that Jesus just called out. When in reality, it is simply stating a fact that not repenting leads us to death. I have this image that helps me with this image that always comes into my mind when it comes to repentance. I don't know if it'll be helpful to anyone else, but I have this image of a person walking along, kind of oblivious, towards a cliff. A huge drop-off, dangerous, ragged rocks below, and they're walking towards this cliff, unaware of the danger. And someone from the side sees them and calls out to them, stop! Turn around or you're gonna die! You're gonna fall to your death! This person who's walking towards the cliff's edge is completely unaware of the danger, for whatever reason. They're distracted, or they're looking down, they're worrying, or they're grieving. Whatever it is, something has prevented them from seeing this immediate and present danger. And the person who calls out to them yells and screams with urgency, "You are going to die! Stop! Stop! Turn around!" And the closer they get to the edge, the louder and more urgent the yelling. Now in this scenario, no one interprets what's being said as, if you don't stop, I'm going to push you off that cliff, right? There's no threat implied here. This is a warning of a very real danger that is clearly seen by the person off to the side. That's how I understand these calls to repentance that we hear in Scripture, that are paired with warning, not threat, but warning. Because what repentance is a call to turn around, a call to change direction. And what Jesus so clearly sees is a people who are walking straight towards a cliff's edge. People whose lives have been tied up in one way of thinking and in one way of doing things. People tied up in systems that oppress and that write off those who suffer as sinners. Jesus sees that they are in danger, that they are heading straight towards death. And so he calls on them to change direction, to turn around, because life lies the other way. This urgent call to repentance is not a threat, but a life-saving gift. Okay, now I'm going to finish the gospel reading. I'm going to read the parable that comes next. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now this parable is the key. This is where we hear the clue that what Jesus is talking about when it comes to repentance is not a threat, but God's grace and mercy. Because the story of the fig tree was a common one at the time and place of Jesus. It was a story that was well known and told in many different versions. But Jesus changes it. He puts a twist on this common story. He takes the story of a tree that doesn't bear fruit and so is cut down, and he adds to it. Jesus adds a reprieve, a second chance. Jesus adds mercy. Despite the fact that the tree has done nothing for its owner, it is not cut down. Instead, the gardener nurtures the tree, tends to it, cares for it, gives it another chance at life. And that is the message of grace and mercy and hope that Jesus is urgently and in urgent terms trying to convey. The story of the collapsing building and the murders in the temple, those examples highlight what's at stake here, that life is not promised tomorrow, that death can come at any moment. Just like those messages from chapter 12, the end can come at any moment. Even if we don't believe the world is going to end tomorrow, if that's no longer our worldview, we still know that life could end tomorrow. Our end could come tomorrow. And so the chance to turn around, the chance to repent and change our direction, it is an urgent one. Today is the day. This gift of life has been given to us one more day, and we have been invited to turn away from all that kills us, all that harms others. We have been invited to turn away from death and to turn towards life. we have been invited to turn away from despair, hatred, greed, and invited to turn towards God's hope, God's compassion, and God's generosity. We have been invited to turn away from isolation, from thinking that we can and that we have to do everything by ourselves. And we have been invited to turn toward community and helping one another. That turning, that changing of direction, that is repentance. Lent is a wonderful time to reflect on this call to repentance, this call on our lives to turn. It reminds me actually of what Pastor Jim's talking about in his midweek services. What do we need to get rid of in our churches, and what do we need to keep? Or in terms of repentance, what do we need to turn away from, and what do we need to turn towards, both in our lives and in our communities? And so I invite you to take some time this week to reflect on repentance in your own lives. What do you need to turn away from? What is hurting or harming you or others? Whether it's your privilege or your self-reliance, whether it's fear or materialism or whatever it might be for you. And also to reflect on what you are being called to turn towards in your life. What is life-giving? What bears good fruit in the world? This is our call to repentance, to take each day as a gift, as an opportunity to turn towards God, to turn towards life. The time is now, and today is the day. Thanks be to God. Amen.